Pintcast. I'm joined this week by Joseph. You can follow him on Twitter at I Hate Your Club. And Ty, or Taj, or what is the name you had for him?
Taj.
His new alias. You can follow him on Twitter at, well, he's Gervinho's forehead, but Gerv forehead. G-E-R-V number 4, yeah. H-E-A-D.
Roma fan? Is that why you have that?
Yeah, clearly we brought him on as a Roma supporter.
Yes.
Yes. Well, welcome back to the Pintcast. It's a pleasure to have you. Glad to see you're down in sunny Florida?
Yeah, it's sunny. It's a lot warmer than my previous location.
Fair enough. So we had a big match at the weekend. You want to get started, Joseph? Yeah. So Joseph and I
drove our asses down to the pub.
The forsaken pub of which I believe Joseph will never, ever visit again.
Who knows?
Oh, your stance is softened. The day of, he looked miserable. He said,
I'm never coming back. I was pretty miserable after, and when there were other things going on, festivities after. I didn't want to pretty much paying attention.
I forgot
to shake someone's hand.
He forgot to shake the guy with cancer, the guy who's there fundraising money. Shook his hand after. He doesn't have cancer. Okay.
He's raising money.
The guy raising money. He goes up and grabs the gift and just turns and walks away. And the guy's like extending to shake his hand, and he's just so mad about the loss.
I was so pissed off. I was like here, and I just wanted to go back to my seat.
Yeah.
I felt bad. I was hoping I'd win again. That way I could shake his hand.
Right.
But
right,
it's kind of too hard to go back.
Yeah. But what can you do, man? It is what it is. But we did raise a lot of money. I believe the collaboration of the O's over $2,000. I think it was around $2,300. The combination of the OC Gooners, the LA, and San Diego basically the big gathering of several groups, raised over $2,000 for triple negative cancer awareness that the Gooner on the Road was fundraising for. So it was a good time with good people. Although not so great result. It's kind of familiar theme, Joseph. Some of these gatherings that we get to, less than ideal results. And it was Joseph's third successive visit to the Old Ship, where we lost 1-0 to a Manchester club.
Score when I go there.
No scoring when Joseph's in town.
When we're there, I don't know. You've been down.
It must be your unfashionable bloomers.
It must be my bloomers. They get in the way of the win.
Oh dear. What a cock block those bloomers are.
No, they must be a cock block.
Shit.
They're like a...
I don't know. Well, let's get to the match. Ty, this was a big match in which I believe at least we were... some people were more cautiously optimistic. I decided to be brash and talk a bunch of shit because I was pretty confident we'd get a result. Ended up 1-0, Man United. Some fuckhead scored a goal, I believe. What was your take on the match?
Well, looking back, I mean, first half, we really sat back. You can tell we weren't quite ready to go from the start. Second half really turned it up. I was kind of thinking, the chance we were creating in the second half, I figured a draw would be a fair result coming out of that. Coming into it, though, I was like you, as Brash, was talking shit, hoping for a win. But, yeah, I think a draw would have been fair, but, I mean, that's the game.
Yeah, I mean, I was cautious going in. I was probably the only one cautious on the last Pintcast. I figured a draw, and I figured a draw would be a good result going to Old Trafford, just because, for many reasons, just how gassed I knew we'd be after the lack of depth and the very difficult midweek fixture, and then just shit usually goes bad there, whether it's referee decisions, whether it's dives. We didn't really have any dives, I don't think. But
Joseph, do you think that this was more of a case of United showing up or Arsenal, like more of a failure on Arsenal's part?
Look, this is going to be their biggest win all season. They were up for it, and they had a game plan, and they came out and tried to be physical. I mean, they were physical on Giroud.
Oh, fuck. Did we give Moyes his first fucking win over top four opposition? Yeah, that's almost worse than the rest.
It'll be his only one all season, probably.
I hope not, because we could use him taking points off our other title contenders.
They're dropping points all over the place anyway.
Yeah.
But it was tough.
Hopefully they're draws. Draws are best.
I don't know. It was a tough match. I mean, we sat there in the 45 minutes of us doing not much. Our passes couldn't link a pass for anything, especially the midfield. And then at desperation, they'd lump it up top, hoping Giroud could bring everybody in, but he was just unable to.
Yeah, everyone looked a bit off, and I think it's certainly a big factor to what you said was, you know, the fatigue factor. It had played hugely. And then take into account, throw that fatigue into a bug that's going around hits the squad after they're coming back midweek. You know, what we heard was that a few players missed out, a few people were suffering. After the match, we heard Ozil was one of the guys who was suffering. You know, he also is now being held home, which is probably a blessing in disguise in a sense, because he can get some rest. But being held from Germany, right?
Right.
He's told to stay in London. But it really seemed like it all just kind of added up to a lot of things not going our way and not really having much fluency in attack, looking sluggish, looking worn out.
That fixture took a lot out of those guys.
Yeah, certainly.
I mean, you look at the Chelsea were what at home. Chelsea were at home midweek and won, I don't know, 4 or 5. I don't remember how much they scored. They had it pretty easy. It wasn't 95 minutes of concentration.
Not nearly as emotionally, mentally, or physically draining.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, our guys, you know, they played their ass off for 95 minutes, and midweek away, and then just didn't have it. Another away trip, didn't really have it, you know. Slow start. Obviously got better in the second half.
Yeah.
But Per not being there probably... to be that first point of attack to clear the ball out on a set piece probably hurt us organization-wise, because I don't think anybody took that spot, you know.
Yeah, I suppose in that positioning sense. But, you know, they scored one somewhat fluky, you know, goal on a set piece.
Much.
No, they didn't create much of anything. I mean, I think the best chance of the game probably fell to who was it? Left-footed strike? Was it Rooney? Who was it that missed that shot in the first half, in the second half?
Yeah.
I'm blanking. I think it was Rooney, a left-footed strike.
Yeah, I think it was Rooney, yeah.
Rooney, left-footed strike. He had some pressure, but he was pretty open. I mean, he should have buried that.
Yes.
That was probably the clearest chance in the entire match.
That's because that's how Moyes played. That's what he's hoping for. He was hoping for a set piece and to stifle the match. That's basically how he plays all top four sides.
Yeah.
So, it was ugly.
Yeah. What do you think this says, Ty, for Manchester United going forward this season? Because unfortunately, I see it as a very instrumental and pivotal win for them. Do you think this solidifies their credentials as title contenders?
No, I don't. And maybe it's just my bias, and I like them being so far down there, so I don't want to give them credit. But I mean, you look at how they played. That was their cup final this year, and I mean, we had an off day and still gave them a run for their money. If we were on our game that day, no question in my mind, we could have beaten them. Besides, I mean, Rooney played his ass off, but I still think that they're not on par with us, with Chelsea. You know, even Liverpool right now, they're still not there.
They
fuck
are,
RVP.
Yeah, I hope it reads right on your guys' side.
well, I think you know they're going to struggle with anybody who's better than them in the midfield. I mean, they're good up top. It's going to be difficult to beat.
Yeah, we saw they weren't able to get much. They weren't able to feed them very well, right? I mean, they weren't really doing much.
No.
It's too bad. Carrick came back to do well enough to do a decent job for him, and now I believe he's out again for a while.
He's out for 6 weeks.
Right,
six
shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying he didn't have a blind of a match or anything, but it's just too
there's bad. A, there's a big difference between Carrick being in the midfield and playing Phil Jones in that spot.
Right. Very true. But I think, you know, to your point, they really is a statement game for United in the sense that this really.
Well, they had to win.
No, they had to win. It was a must win match at the very least. I mean,
we had plenty of those last year, so we know what they're like.
Yeah.
Ours were later in the season. They needed that this now. But I'm not sure who else, what the rest of their schedule's like, you know, until the end of the year.
I just wanted to give them that death blow, though, you know? Oh. And, like, God, I fucking hate, like, all the articles that have come up now. And, oh, you know, the fucking resurgence of United.
I haven't read any of them.
I know. I see headlines. Yeah. And I'm just like, ah, fuck this. This could have been all, like, death and despair. Instead, we give fucking David Moyes his first win over a top four opposition. That makes me more angry than the loss. Like, I didn't even think about that until right now, that is that we gave him his first fucking win over top four opposition, and that just really makes me angry. Yeah, but not over us.
Yeah, well.
He had never beaten – Everton never beaten us? Yeah. We always draw against Everton.
Because he'd never beaten a top four side.
Right. Before. Yeah. See?
Usually drew against –
fucking
really,
moist.
A draw would have been
– would have pretty fair result.
Pretty fair result.
Yeah. But that being said, you know – when we were talking about this, Joseph, going back into before this period, we were looking at what a good return of points would be from these three fixtures. And yeah. I believe we said we were hoping for at least 4 points.
I thought
six would be great.
Four would have been what I expected. Five would have been more than I expected. We got six.
And we got six. So it's a great return.
Get the one that we had to for sure get because going to Old Trafford was always difficult.
Right. If
you're playing well.
And the beauty of the earlier results was that it actually did take a lot of pressure off that weekend match in a sense that, like, you know, if we lost to Liverpool, all of a sudden it's have Arsenal stumbled. If we didn't get a result in Dortmund, it would have continued.
And now,
as opposed to a hammer blow to our season or something, you know, we lose this match. We're still 2 points clear at the top, right?
Yep.
And, you know, you're facing – we're not in a bad situation. It doesn't really, really hurt our season. It's drop points. Yes, it kind of stops off a run that we were on, but you know, we have a chance to go back and then take on the third place team or fourth, whatever the fuck Southampton are now. They're up there. Yeah, no, Southampton
they're,
could
they're with second.
They can go first or level, right?
They can go level with us
if they were to win this after the international break. Crazy shit.
You know what I think? You know, we've had some decent matches, I mean, a couple of good matches, but overall, I don't know that, I mean, I certainly don't believe we've played great up until this point. We've had a couple of good matches against teams that were not great, but overall, I don't think we're anywhere near where we're going to be with the players we have.
Right.
We're not playing at our best.
No.
They keep talking about how the pundits keep talking about how Chelsea will start to play better, and City will play better, and United will play better. Well, so will we, because we haven't been playing up to what this team can do.
And there's a very valid point raised by many people in this past week or two, is that, you know, they're talking about, oh, well, how will Arsenal cope with injuries? And like, they keep looking at, like, Giroud specifically. It's like, well, all of our other options have been injured, right? We're missing about approximately 40 goals in right between what Oxley Championship and a couple, but then the Podolski had in the teens and Theo had 20 in all competitions. So, you know, taking 35-40 goals out of the team
and we've only
and our top scorer, right? Exactly. You take all those goals out of the team and you look at how we've coped and you have to think that we could do a lot better once.
We could do a lot better. We can score a lot more.
Yeah, and you look
at
the big thing is that we saw in the second half, look at the big impact that Gnabry made, you know? We're completely lacking that pacey option on the wing. We don't have any width, and we're playing.
But we haven't had it for 2 months.
But we look good sometimes, even with all those players in there, you know, because then you get stuck putting Rosicki on one side and Santi on the other, and then you have Ozil and Ramsey, and everyone's floating and whatnot. You don't have any natural width, but they've still been able to play pretty fucking well. I mean, I guess with that many technicians, you know, you can do that and look good in moments, but we saw what a difference pace and natural width and like direct dribbling, you know, because you think of like in our team, who are the kind of guys that are going to take on a man and beat somebody, you know? Gnabry is very, you know, he's very raw, but he is that kind of player.
He's going to put defenders
under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, they're going to want to take a step back.
Right. You know, and then who else says that? Theo.
He drops his shoulder.
Yeah.
And he's going to be around you.
Yeah, exactly. And then Theo, Ox, Poldy, these are all guys that have that potential that you would have to say that most of the players filling this position at the moment don't really possess. I mean, Rosicki's not going to blow by people like that. Santi's not going to blow by people like that. That's not their game.
Right.
And, you know, and I feel like we can augment this, but that the having that kind of, like, you want at least one outlet like that just to be able to keep a defense true, you know, like to have to respect the pace that you have in the team by having one outlet, whether it be one side or the other.
Well, yes, and especially like in the first half where you were lumping it up to Giroud, hoping to be able to hold it up and unsuccessfully, but having that option to where maybe you just put it out to the corner and Gnabry can run onto it and, you know, right, help bring the rest of the team in. We haven't had that.
Yeah.
We haven't had that at all.
But there's go on.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I was like, just even having one player with pace, look at the way Chelsea's set up. They have the same thing. They have like so many technicians on the field, and then they have one, you know, they have Hazard out on the left. Just one pacey winger option, and they make it work. And just having that one go-to that sort of breaks the mold for the rest of the midfield, it just makes all the difference.
Yeah, you can see what kind of danger pace presents, man. It makes a big, big difference. So in terms of that second half performance, you know, we saw a good response from the team, but there really weren't that many clear-cut chances created. You know, we didn't create much.
We didn't create that much, but there were a couple opportunities, but we weren't anywhere near finishing anything.
No, not really. And we've been in that.
Senya made some great crosses, and there was just nobody there.
Yeah.
Or there were people there that don't know how to make a proper run.
Yeah, and part of the problem with what we're dealing with now is obviously, like you said, you know, it's not that the squad lacks depth in most areas because we seem to have adequate depth when healthy, but we've been running with a very, very thin bench for just nearly the entire season. And like you said, players are getting run into the ground. We have people like, you look at the bench, right? The bench occasionally even still carries the Denchmaster on occasion. You know, Hayden is on a bench. You got guys like, you know, our go-to subs. And granted, they've worked to kill off games, have been like bringing on Monreal and Vermaelen and Jenkinson. You're like, those are the three substitutions we're making, you know? But like, those were the only senior players that were on the bench.
Yeah,
it's like, at best, it's like maybe Rosicki's on the bench. Like maybe there's one midfielder, but there's – and your striking option is Nick Bentner, you know? So obviously once the injured are healed and back and ready to fill that bench, it'll be nice because it's always nice to have that feeling that you have at least one or ideally two game changers, like a game-changing midfielder and a striker winger option that can come on. And it being how old is Serge Gnabry now? He's still 18?
18.
Yeah. So you know what I mean? Like he's the, like you looked at that bench against United and he was the only one. You're like, oh, and he's suffering from flu also.
Right, he and Jack
fucking great.
Two on the bench that really could have done anything. And bringing on Jack did make a change.
Yeah.
Because we finally had someone to bring that ball through the midfield.
Yeah.
It just wasn't enough.
And, I mean, and then there's still the constant issue of the fact that, you know, we're taking a guy who, in Ramsey, who, you know, playing him on the wing, which obviously some people have a big problem with. But understandably so. This guy's one of the best midfielders. We have to find the balance in midfield because I don't particularly love the Arteta-Flamini double pivot. I think it has to be one or the other. I think the technique.
I think against certain teams, I think it might work. But in last week's game, we had the better midfield in the right combination. I think clear.
I don't know that.
I do.
We dominated it, but you have the guy who's been our best midfielder not playing in midfield.
Well, that's what I'm just saying. I'm saying for this last weekend, I don't think it would have worked. I just don't think combination-wise it was right. But I mean, in
the sense that Ramsey needs to be at the heart or at the center of things, you know?
But at the same point, maybe put him out on that side because he didn't have physically enough to be running box to box.
I mean, he always seems more at home doing that. And technically, as a winger, you should be running even more than you would in the center midfield. But I don't know. It doesn't it's a situation that needs to be sorted out because the center midfield.
Played the Theo role where he didn't run back very much last weekend.
I haven't watched the match again to analyze it. I've seen.
I
still have it. It's just been busy as fuck.
And
it's
like to watch that shit again.
Yeah, it's still sitting on the DVR, taunting me. But I haven't gone back to space analyze available. His space. I got plenty of space available, but do what you can. But yeah, that seems like a big problem though because we don't know where is the best place to place some of these guys. Because you all of a sudden Jack's playing and he's in midfield and he's bringing the ball through. It's like, but it doesn't seem like he fits our first 11 in the midfield right now. And when it's going to be a great problem to have once we have all these options. We can argue about who should be playing where. Because right now the team basically picks itself on fitness in the most part. Right, Jackson Ackard, he's on the bench. It's like, he's carrying a knock. He's on the bench, and he'll come in on the wing or midfield.
If we had
midfield.
Everybody available, this would have been a good match to have arrested Jack or arrested Ramsey. We didn't have
arrested. Arrested players, get out of here.
But we just have
what is that?
Nothing. Yeah. We didn't get, not one of those players is fresh. Maybe Santi, but he's just off an injury.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's fresh, I don't ever feel that when you're rebounding from injury like that you're particularly all that fresh.
You still
got to gain fitness.
Away,
Still got to gain your fitness. So, I don't know. But so we got Southampton next, which we'll preview at a later date. We don't need to get to that at the moment. But looking forward, do we have any timetable on when those guys are expected to be back? Are we going to get them back for the next match?
There are rumors that Podolski and Theo will be fit for Southampton.
What about Sanogo? I want Sanogo.
As some people, I believe Arsblog pointed out, it's like no one even remembers Sanogo anymore because he's not even mentioned in the fucking medical reports, which is just scary because he's a forever broken Frenchman.
Yeah.
Another one who, but Diaby will be back in December.
He just started walking.
For how?
He's going to be back.
I know. For a week.
If I started walking today, I wouldn't be back till March.
He'll be back in March for a week. And
I don't know.
I feel bad for Forever Broken.
But a glorious week will be.
He'll be fantastic.
He'll dominate Liverpool.
Right, he'll dominate Liverpool.
Man of match.
And you'll be like, damn, I love Diaby.
God, we missed Diaby. He's exactly what we
wanted. Back in 07, we'll get that run.
No, actually, it's going to be 2 weeks, and there's going to be articles saying how France should take him to the World Cup.
Right.
It's like so sad because it's like please don't, if you're watching this, Abu, we don't mean anything.
No, because I love Abu. I just wish he were. I'm sure
one of his biggest fans.
Nothing would make me happier than for him to be fit and playing.
Right.
I mean, honestly, he's one of our players, and
yep.
I mean, hell, he's been with us.
Probably
long-ass
our longest tenured serving? Player, possibly. Because I'm thinking we got Rosicki in 2006. Yeah, who's had longer than that? Giroud, who's technically started a player. He's on loan. Bentner was there around that time.
What
we got Bentner. He was in the youth.
Walcott was around 06.
Was it 06 when we got him?
I believe so.
No, 06, 07 or 07, 08, right around there. 07, 08, I think. It might have been 2007 at some point. I feel like we got him. Did we get him in January? Was he a January transfer or was he summer? No, he was summer.
No, I think he was in January.
I don't know. Deal?
Whatever.
We'll research this before we face Southampton, his old club,
right?
In the next match. So that brings us to a fucking interlull.
It's been lonely.
It's quite the interlull.
There's very few matches that are going to mean anything.
Pero la raza.
Yeah.
Mexico, ya se armó.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch
really
too much of it.
They looked so great against the powerhouse.
Club America taking on guys I used to play with in college. Seriously, my boy Tony Lockhead. I didn't watch enough of the match, but he was playing left back for New Zealand. Gaucho alumni. Respect. I mean, this motherfucker played in the World Cup, so I can't say shit.
I'm not saying anything, but...
They are dire. They are absolutely horrible. And they let fucking Club America, or a.k.a. Mexico. It's funny, right, that America is the Mexico team? I don't know. Maybe I find that funny. That's it. But, yeah, so they put five past the Kiwis.
They let one in, though.
They let one in. It opens the door for the 4-0 on the return.
Yes.
Line, right? The away goal, the vital away goal. Will make all the difference. I believe I said that the Mexicans will need to walk home if they were not to qualify. They'll have to fucking chop down the trees and make their own fucking canoes and paddle their asses back. And thank you, Rebecca Jill, for letting me know that we got both Rizicki and Walcott before the 06 World Cup. I knew about the Rizicki one, but I was not.
I remember how excited.
Yeah, well, because then he went and spanked the Americans, right? He scored a brace against the USA, and one of them was a cracker from outside the box.
I was torn.
Yeah, I was torn. I was just like, hey, he's at Arsenal now. Yeah.
We scored that one against Hamburg in the Champions League. They were equal. We're good.
Yeah. But so with all of that, we. Oh, Dio was a January transfer from Southampton? No, that's what Jeff's saying.
I thought he was.
Yeah, so maybe it was January 06. Okay. Well, that would be before the 06 World Cup, so that's fair. Rizicki was early summer because I remember it was announced right before the World Cup.
And yeah, we got him right before the price went up.
We got the star from Dortmund. They just won the league.
The perfect buy.
Yeah. So it seemed. I don't regret it at all. I'm happy we still have him. Hope he gets another deal.
Well, yeah, I'm happy now. I mean,
yeah, I know.
I was never really some lean super years. Unhappy. I was just we were out of spots at one point where we needed on the 25-man squad, and he wasn't playing. He was the one that was ready to sell just because I wanted a new player. But
right. Well, let's get to the other matches. We do have some interesting playoffs. Unfortunately, a few of our Arsenal friends will be involved in some pretty big matches.
Yeah.
Only the French.
France, who are they playing?
They are playing the Ukraine. Yeah. Andrei Shevchenko is coming out of retirement to fire them to glory. Or maybe Andrei Voronin. Was he Ukrainian too, right? The blonde-haired ponytail guy who came to Liverpool and did nothing for a year. Then a great Liverpool's got a really great track record with buying players, man. They just really get them right all the time.
Well, unfortunately, they're doing better now.
Nah, not really.
Give it time.
I still got to recover from all those Dalglish buys. Someday when they'll be out of contract, they might be all right.
It's just so funny because, like, so many of those, like, everyone saw them. And on face value at the moment, we're just like, it's a horrible buy. And
every
like
one of those buys was a horrible buy.
It's terrible. Downing, Henderson, Carroll. You don't need to talk about anything else. That's enough right there.
No.
Oh, there was Adam in there, too.
Oh, yeah, Charlie Adam.
Charlie Adam.
Yeah,
that was like 100 million pounds.
And you know Charlie Adam? I don't think he's even 30. Charlie Adam, he's like 28.
He looks about 45.
I know because he got signed. Because I think I'm about the same age. Yeah, I'm about like the same age as him. I'm not 27, but I think he was signed at like 26 at Liverpool or something, or 27. And so he's right around there now. But I always thought, man, he was fucking 35. I think the hairline and the teeth and
He's lived
some hard years. I don't know.
Hard living. Probably maybe he drinks.
Maybe.
I didn't want allegedly.
Allegedly. The perpetrator says so. But so France take on the Ukraine. We have Koscielny, Sanya, and Giroud involved. You have to say all three of those players are players we could definitely use playing some fucking friendlies and being rotated and not have to play
both legs this
playoff.
They even travel, especially Giroud.
Right. Yeah, Giroud definitely needs a break. Maybe Benzema's going to get a start for once for France. I don't know. We can
cross our fingers.
He gets a start and scores right away, so he plays the second match too.
I'd be okay with that. I'd be very okay with that.
If they're up 2-0, keep them in.
Yeah, fuck it.
I just want them to lose.
You want France to lose?
Yeah, fuck them.
Loki apparently says fuck France.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if he was on board with that or.
Yeah. Or that was a growl of agreement.
That was a growl of agreement. I'm gonna give you that.
You would know.
I would.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. We don't have to worry about them at the World Cup next year. Then. You know,
yeah, but I like having those players at the World Cup. It's the other bullshit. The Confederation Cup. Other shit. All those little trifle things. World Cup, I want to see our players. Give me a reason to root for them. But there is one big match, one big playoff, squaring off the two top, you have to say the top players in the world on form at the moment. It is one, Mr. Zlatan Ibrahimovic versus Miss Cristiano Ronaldo in Portugal.
By the way, on a side note, I keep hearing more and more people talking about we should have gotten Zlatan.
Oh yeah, well, I wonder who had that.
I wonder where that idea came from.
Nah, they didn't get that from us. You didn't get that from me. Maybe I've been spouting that shit.
We talked about that all summer.
Yeah. It's like, Zlatan would be great. We would have won the league. We'd win the league for sure. He has been on fire. Ty, do you have any particular favorite Zlatanisms? What's your favorite? Do you have any memorable sound bites from him or anything that stands out in your mind?
I still love the clip of the reporter going up to him in his car after making allegations that he was gay, and he just made the comment, like, come to my house, I'll show you if I'm gay. Bring your sister, too.
Right. Yeah, that's typical Zlatan.
I don't know. He has so many all the time. He throws them out all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have any that come to mind, but I know I read one within the last month.
Oh, yeah, I know. He said one great. It was, what is a Sturridge? Who's Sturridge? they said which duo is more dangerous? Something. It's like, is it Rooney and Van Persie or is it Suarez and Sturridge? And he's like, who or what is Sturridge? Right? Who's Sturridge? This is his response to that, which is fucking beautiful.
Because they're overhyped within the country,
right?
Sturridge, and outside of that, of course, no one knows because they don't play in anything outside of that country.
Yeah, no one knows Sturridge. No one cares about Sturridge. Yeah, that was great. He's just a constant reminder of that. I think I know where my loyalty lies here. I mean, I don't hate Cristiano as much as I used to. I'll give him that. But in this match of the Titans, you feel like Portugal are the superior talented team. They generally are, but they're always a team of individuals, you know? You got a team with Cristiano and Nani.
Well,
you know.
They played well. Well, I mean, he pretty much drug them to, where did they get, semifinals last year or the quarters?
I don't remember. The quarterfinals, I think, of the Euros or the World Cup?
Yeah. Of the Euros.
I think they made the quarterfinals. But, they never cease to disappoint,
but
they always choke. They choke. They're fucking at home against Greece. And they choked. Granted, I don't think anyone's in this team anymore. That was there in 2004. But
is Larsson playing for Sweden?
Seb Larsson sure is.
Okay, then I want Sweden.
I'm back. I'm back.
Of course, Larsson. Sverige.
I'm backing him for a set piece or
a nice assist for Zlatan.
Right,
Zlatan's head.
Little Johan Elmander goal.
Oh my God! Is Elmander even still in the national setup? He probably is.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, who else?
who else would back up Zlatan? Yeah, I guess there isn't too much else. I'm all in with Sweden. Bring your fans, bring your
bring your fans.
Bring your fans to Brazil.
That alone, that's a very good point.
Yeah, come on.
That is actually the only point.
But I mean, but Portuguese women, it's
yeah, so let's talk about Swedish women.
All right, let's talk about Swedish women. No, I got love for Portugal too, Portuguese ladies.
Send your mail too.
Yes.
Send your DMs. Yeah.
No. But I might have a soft spot for the Swedes. But I feel. I will not take that bait. I shall not. But yeah, I feel like, you know, they put in a good committed team performance. You know, Sweden's got a decent squad. They've got decent players, and as we've seen, you know, this I really see this one panning down to being a superstar versus superstar type of showdown. It's going to come down to which one brings the individual brilliance, you know, on the day. And I can't wait, There's a lot of time with a brace tomorrow. Calling it now.
Well, you know Ronaldo's going to score at least one.
Of course. But it's got to be like an acrimonious defeat. Maybe he gets sent off at the end while they're losing or something, you know? He's so petulant. And, like,
that would be good.
It really would be.
I don't know. I'm really just as petulant, so I don't have a problem with
it. You're as petulant as Cristiano?
I'm pretty petulant.
I kick you the fuck out if I see you doing any of that shit. You're going to pop your collar and fucking throw tantrums? Fuck!
I pop my collar. He does better than me because I wouldn't shake hands because I don't believe in that shit.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
I remember, you know, I've punched people instead of shaking hands before, so.
But see, like, when are they going to do the Ballon d'Or for this season? Mm. It's coming up, yeah? I don't know.
It's
got to be soon.
Yeah, it's really right? Soon. So they haven't announced the short list yet, so it's going to be Cristiano and Messi and who?
Zlatan. Zlatan, Ribery.
Oh, yeah, probably Ribery.
I wanted to go to Ribery or Zlatan for obvious reasons. But.
Why Ribery? Oh, yeah, you're a fucking Bayern fan.
No, I'm not. I just admire everything about them, and he's something not
show me your tattoo.
Not Cristiano or Messi. Show me
your Bayern tattoo. Do you have a Bayern shirt?
That question's for you. You plead the fifth?
I plead the fifth.
1, 2, 3, 4, fifth.
Fifth. I plead the fifth.
I plead the fifth. That's all I got. That's all the Dave Chappelle I got.
That's it.
That's all I got.
So who are you backing this? I mean, I know who you want to win. I mean, fuck the Ballon d'Or. I'm talking about this Portugal versus Sweden match of the Titans. Who do you see getting through, Ty?
Honestly, I want and see the Swedes getting through. I think they are a more complete team, even though they have Zlatan. It just feels like everything is built around him, and the rest of the team is willing to do so. They're just more industrious, I think. They work hard. They move, like, their movement's good. They move forward as a team. They move back as a team really well. I think that's the way. I think they're going to win.
I like it. I dig it.
He's in such a good form right now. I mean,
but the thing is, it's so is Cristiano, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Zlatan he's at, you know, and even Zlatan levels of confidence are ridiculously higher than anyone else's, you know. And but he even at that moment, like, he is in peak physical condition with the utmost confidence, you know. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if he pulls off like that fucking bicycle kick he did last season, you know, pulls off some shit from 30, 40 yards out, because he is the kind of guy that will try anything audacious, because you know what? If anyone can do it, this is what he would say, right? Zlatan can do it,
right?
You know, because he refers to himself in the third fucking person. And he's the personality that we need at the World Cup. Cristiano, man, it's true that for me, the idea of Cristiano sitting at home while the World Cup's going on and him not being on the stage and seeing him just like angry, like punching Leo Messi dolls or something. It his living room sounds like the fucking greatest thing ever. Also, I did see Messi's brother trolling Ronaldo earlier today. It's pretty good. I mean, I nothing that great, but it's just funny. Holding up all his
fuck him too. I don't give a shit about him. He can die.
I like Messi, so I've always been on this side of the debate. But
I'm on Taji's side on this one.
You're on Taji's side, Taji. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how to spell the other one, but or pronounce.
Well, you know, Messi's out for what? The rest
another
of the
another
year?
6 weeks.
I'm sure they'll be pumping him full of stuff for the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, he needs to take a break, man. He needs to take a break because, look, I mean, his schedule's been so ridiculous and he's been going so hard that, you know, he needs to be fit and ready to go for this World Cup. And he played through injury at the end of last season, you know, wasn't fully fit. Rushed it back in the summer, rushed back earlier this season. It's just one of those things. He's got to shut it down. These guys get put on this such a crazy fucking schedule when they play all these international tournaments and have such a crazy run of these back-to-back years. I mean, his run of fitness has been amazing. It's part of the reason why he's been the best player in the world for the past – I mean, how long has Messi been the best player in the world? 5 years? You know? At least.
Yeah, sounds about right.
I mean, that sounds about right. Like, he's just been the best. And he's been basically fit for 95 or 97% of that entire time while playing 60 matches a season or whatever the fuck it is and playing every minute of every game. You know, it's crazy. And that shit takes a toll on your body for sure. I mean, hopefully. I mean, just from a neutral's perspective, even though I'm not really neutral, but in the sense that, like, you know, we want to see good football. You know, you hope he gets enough rest that he can come back and keep delivering on that highest level. You know, I don't even doubt that he will, but it's just you see players. I mean, we've always been when he was our player, we were always worried about Fabregas and his hamstrings and shit. You know, and this is a hamstring injury for him. We know what that can do to players. You know, so
that's why I'm still worried about Podolski and his hamstring.
Well, yeah, and he apparently
shredded the whole fucking thing.
I believe I don't know who it was, whether it was Elliot or it was Tim on the Ars to Mouse podcast said like shredded like beef jerky or some shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me when I refer to Rosicky's string cheese hamstrings.
Yeah.
What was it? The German national team doctor said it was the worst hamstring injury he's ever seen.
Fuck that. I didn't even know he said that. Yeah. Oh, that's like torn off the bone.
Yeah,
he said it was torn off the bone.
No. Yeah.
That's exactly what he said.
End of podcast.
Dude, I'm just feeling my, like, I've had a couple hamstring pulls and tears and shit. And if you ever do it high up, and I think he did a high hamstring, and they say those are the worst. Because if it comes off the bone up there, it's just fucking terrible.
Yeah. Well, look on the bright side. He's almost back. We'll be fine. Yeah. That's what I keep telling myself.
Yeah. Right. And then we'll just sign Royce to, you know, supplant him there. So it'll be all right, right?
Easy. Got it back.
I'm sure if that happened.
Hey, all right, all right. Yeah.
That's how confident I know that's not going to happen.
Next summer. I'm not holding my breath for any of those. Any other big matches coming up? What else you got in this international break? Any topics you want to hit?
Right? I mean, I don't know who else is in there.
The playoffs? No one gives a fuck about the rest of the playoffs. Oh, yeah, Uruguay spanked Jordan. So that's basically done. There's like five.
Ooh.
Ooh. But, I mean, FIFA's getting what they wanted, though. FIFA's getting what they wanted. Because, look, I mean.
Oh, you mean you guys aren't going to watch? You guys aren't going to watch Iceland versus Croatia?
It's heated. I'll be watching my Brazilian, bro. Is Eduardo still in the national setup? They don't have too much else, but.
Yeah.
I'll back Croatia in that one, I guess, because Iceland are trying to make it as the smallest nation ever, right, to make the World Cup.
I hope Iceland might go.
Yeah. I'm torn here. It's a team full of Sigurdssons and no one else, and then Eduardo. I don't know.
Right. And we stole one of their best players, the Americans did.
Did he make his?
Yeah.
Johansson?
Yeah, he made his debut.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. What, for the USA? Yeah, man. It's...
I remember his appearance. I just can't remember if it was a friendly or if it was a qualifier.
Right.
No, it was our last qualifier he came on.
Good deal.
Exciting stuff.
Well, I mean, hopefully it works out for him.
Right.
We've done that. I mean, Klinsmann's brought in a bunch of guys over the last couple of years. And
hey, man.
Some of those guys are never to be seen again.
Well, you know, to be honest, that probably the other nations they would play for or whatever might not have ever called them up anyway or whatever. You know, if they're good enough, they'll make it. So there's that. Johansson, keep on scoring for AZ Alkmaar.
Yeah, just keep sending Americans there and they'll score, hey, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
And they'll go to Sunderland.
And then move elsewhere and do nothing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Josie.
Don't go to Sunderland.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Here's the memo. Hey, Americans, you want to do better in England? Maybe don't go to Stoke and Sunderland.
Take better teams. Just wait. Yeah. Wait another year. Maybe, you know, keep pumping them in and the Dutch league.
Pumping them out.
You'll be all right.
Yeah. Don't get your undergarments in a bunch.
Hey, just we're about six weeks away from the transfer.
Six a weeks away. It's a me.
So I think they're going to start ramping up about December 1.
Oh, yeah.
With the rumor.
I already hear people talking about, what about Lewandowski? It's like, dude, well, we have it on good authority from our German friends.
Yeah.
That ship has sailed. He is going, yeah.
Stefan says no way in hell.
No, he is going to Bayern.
I tried to convince myself it's a possibility one day, and like by the end of the day, it was just so exhausting trying to be like, "No, it can happen."
Yeah, just gave up. But he's like, looks like he's pretty fucking buddy buddy with Chesney, but I don't know.
You know, who's got that kind of pull?
The Polak pull,
right?
Well,
the Polish pull.
Yep. I don't know. I don't know if we can. His head's been turned. That's it. And that kind of cunty behavior, I don't want to reward. You know, as a sympathize with Dortmund. I'm kind of mad at Lewandowski, but at least he's putting a professional shift and playing well.
He's going to see his contract that he signed.
Right. And with the free unnecessary bumper pay, which they didn't need to do for him this season, but I mean that's nice of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't really give a shit about them.
No, he was on tiny wages.
Yeah, it was under 50 or something.
Yeah. Very low, very low. Well, I think that's all we got on these matches, right? You got anything else on this international break? Don't die of boredom, the interlull?
Well, it's a good 2-week period to get some shit done in your real life.
Right. Get some rest. I don't even have to wake up early this weekend.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. Because all the matches are tomorrow, right?
Right. We got a bunch tomorrow.
I'll be able to review all watch ESPN. Thank you.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, I'll be doing the same, I believe, for that match. So exciting stuff. These playoffs will be done. Hopefully we'll see something fancy from Zlatan. I expect like a spinning back. I expect I don't know, maybe like a Chun-Li spinning kick.
Scorpion kick or something.
Or a scorpion kick. I could see him doing a scorpion kick.
It's going to be like 3-2 tomorrow.
I pray.
I think it's going to be like 3-2.
Yeah, because neither team can defend for shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just going to have one superstar against the other one trying to score as many as they can. And I think...
run it up.
I think Sweden will come out on top on that.
And then Seb Larsson for the winner.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
A free kick from the top of the box there in the right-hand corner.
Right over... Who's that sorry-ass goalkeeper they have? Portugal? I can see his ass. Ricardo?
Sounds about right.
I don't know.
I don't even know.
At least that's who it was before. Anyways. Yeah, well... So that's enough from us now. Thank all of you guys for listening. Okay. You got something else?
I got the scarf.
Oh!
All right, so we got a giveaway this week. So, scarf giveaway for a listener that...
We should probably talk about this before we do it.
No, we're just going to win.
Well, I mean, like, I got to give them a question or some kind of contest. No?
Everybody's got to Google. Okay. Everybody can, no matter what question I come up with, they're going to...
Well, yeah, I know. They got to go through the effort of jumping through the hoops of answering.
What was the title of the first Pintcast? See, there you go.
Okay.
Look, they're going to have to do some searching. You should listen to it, too.
Right. In which we bashed
a certain team.
Club.
Email your answer
to morningpint@gmail.com. And I will randomly pick a winner, and Joseph and I will get a scarf. Well, I want to open up that scarf. Show it to everyone. Okay. It is a fine Arsenal scarf over
land and sea.
See, we're giving you Arsenal scarves. I don't even own an Arsenal scarf, and we're giving you fucking Arsenal scarves on the podcast.
So we're all good.
Yeah. So do that. Send your answers to morningpint@gmail.com, and I'll find some kind of way to randomly pick a winner, and we will get this sent out to you and send me your I guess once I contact the winner, you can send me the details. I don't need your addresses, all you fools.
Right.
Anyways, so do that. You can check out these fine fellows on Twitter, Joseph @IHateYourClub, Ty @Jerv4Head. It's always weird when I say that shit. It's always like, well,
yeah.
Gervinho's forehead.
Gervinho's forehead was too long. Twitter wouldn't let me, so right. I had to get creative.
So follow him at gervinhosforeskin.edu. I don't know. Now I'm scrambling and saying silly shit. But it's been a pleasure, gentlemen. We will catch up. We'll be back next week previewing the Southampton match and talking about how Zlatan lopped off Cristiano's head with a mighty sword. And
yes.
Scored
Man United and all your fans.
Yes.
Yeah.
And all that.
All your reappearing fans. It was a nice magic trick for you all.
Cameo
appearance from
getting a Facebook message from some cons like, I totally thought you guys were going to kick our ass. Like, ah, fuck you.
Yeah.
Choking a dick. Anyways. On that note, we will end the Pintcast. A pleasure as always. We'll be back. keep it real, Gunnarsh, and enjoy the feast of football of Zlatan versus the one Cristiano.
Five-goal thriller.
Five-goal thriller. You heard it here. 3-2 Sweden in the first leg.
Put your money on it.
Yeah. All right. Good night, everyone.